Excellent. Well done, Armand. Lekker. So, I've been with Grabouw a couple of times now. I think it's my third time or fourth time or something like that. But my name is Henry, for those who do not know me, married to Kole Liefie Lategang, but it is Brigitta. Don't call her Liefie, but you can call her Brigitta. And we have a little one in a week's time. Mia will be 6 months old. And for some of us, we've been through this journey of kids and all of those things. It hit us like a truck. 3 months ago, 4 months ago, and it feels like the truck reversed over our house and back over again. But we are recovering well now after the new season that we are in, and enjoying it actually a lot. And I'm an elder in Josh Den, part of the Stellenbosch congregation, more specifically the 6 PM one. That's okay, it's okay. I'm family here. I love the smaller. I grew up actually for 19 years in Wellington. That's where I get to know these people from. And Wellington is also this small town, and it's nice and this klein dorpie gevoel, and I just love it. Because I always say I have a oma in every town or in every community. I have a colored oma that makes me fed cook and roosterbrood, and I go there and I go grab my food with my Tupperware and I never bring it back. And then I go, and I worked for a while for Ikhala Temba, the Ministry to the Poor of Josh Den. And so I went to Khayelitsha a lot, and there I have a lot of grandmothers. So I just get food everywhere. But I love the small town feel, and I love Grabouw. I love just what God is doing here. And as I was praying for you guys, I just thought about that scripture a couple of times when Paul writes his letters. He says many times in his letters to the churches that he says, I've heard of something. I've heard of your love. I've heard of your faith. And he speaks into them and he says these things about them. And for Grabouw, I want to say, I'm hearing good stuff, really. I'm hearing that God is moving in your midst. Every time I get here, there's new faces. People are being added. There's new members being added. And God adds the lonely into family, and I can see it busy happening. And Paul also writes that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is being increased in your midst. And I pray that God would more and more increase it within us. But that's not what I want to speak about. Maybe a little bit. But maybe just I have a fancy picture just to make it easier for us. A good preacher always tells you what he's going to preach about. Then he preach about it, and then he summarize what he just spoke about. But I want to speak about watch your words. Te kyk na jou woorde. Watch your words. And it's going to be quite a simplistic message this morning. And I don't want to elaborate too much and go into a lot of detail and things like that. But I do believe there's a word from God for us to watch our words. And I don't just want to make it a little bit of a heavy message this morning, because there is that saying, "Ons moet wag vir ons mond hê." We just need to keep our mouths a little bit shut sometimes. But I want to actually move it a little bit more to the positive, that some of us need to use our words a little bit more and not only keep quiet, but that there's a word that God wants to place in our heart and then speak through our mouths as we build His kingdom. And there's a poet that once said, "Words make worlds." Woorde skep of maak werelde. She was not a Christian, and she didn't have the belief system that we had, but she was definitely onto something when it comes to truth. As we read in Genesis 1 verse 3, it says, "And God said, laat daar lig wees. Let there be light. And there was light." The creator of the universe, almighty, all-powerful, we sang about him being holy. That means he's set apart from his own creation. He's different. His way of design and his way of creation was a word. He spoke, and it was. He could have done it in so many ways, shapes, or forms that I don't know how he could have done it, but he's God. He could, but he chose to do it through a word. But I don't want to speak about words that make worlds, but I want to say words made you. Words made me. Words made us. And what I'm not referring is that a couple of years ago, your mom and your dad went into the room and they said, "Let there be Henry." And there was a Henry. The, the process is a little bit more complex than that, but that's not what I'm preaching about this morning. But words shaped us. It shaped our being. Woorde wat oor ons gespreek was. Many of us sitting here today is walking in great confidence in your ministry, in your calling, in your gifting, in your family, in the way that you do your work. Why? Because somebody looked at you and he spoke a word over you of truth, of confidence, and it built you up and you starting to walk in something of a word, a woord wat iemand oor jou gespreek het. But the opposite of the coin that we can flip is true as well. I want to say some of us, but I want to actually say most of us, are sitting with insecurities, sitting with fears, sitting with beliefs and the way that we view or see the world, the way that we view or see the church, by words that people spoke to you, around you, about you, that shaped the person that you are today. Isn't that true? And these people are maybe friends. I know many of us are on the second half of life, the older side of life. But sometimes we cling on to words in primary school, in high school, in the way we grew up with our families around us. And those are the things that shaped us. Maybe our friends that belittled us or betrayed us. Maybe even our own spouse that said something sharp that, in a sense, caused us to believe something about ourselves. But it started with a word. I even thought about eternal life, that we are, most of us sitting here are most probably Christians, or believe that you are Christian, you believe that you follow God. But God decided that eternal life will be caught up and, in a sense, proclaimed into the world by a couple of words, a message. That's called the good news of Jesus Christ, the goeie nuus van Jesus Christus. And as we believe not only the message, that's a part of a couple of words, but the God behind the message, we will receive eternal life. God once again could have done it in so many ways, shapes, or form, but he chose to do it by containing the message of life in words. So I want to say this morning that words is a big deal to God. From the beginning of Genesis, through the lives that we live and the way that we grew up, all the way through to our circumstances in our families, God thinks words are important. Matthew 12 verse 36 elaborates even more on this to say, I tell you, on that day of judgment, the last day, people will give account for every careless word that they speak. That's so interesting. It's not only that we will be judged that we are Christians or we are believers. It's not speaking about that type of judgment, but it's speaking about almost an extra judgment on that last day. It's not only for the things that we did for the Lord, but it's for every word that we spoke. It's like, sure, you know, that's some deep stuff. And sometimes we are so careless just to speak certain things, but we know on that last day we will stand before the Lord for everything that we spoke. But I want to say words are not only important to God, but it is also powerful. Hebrews 1 verse 3 elaborates on this creation account that God created the universe, but then it goes on to say that He, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature. What the scripture is saying, that Jesus is God and He created the world. And it says He upholds the universe by the word of His power. That He didn't only speak a word and there was creation and then He walked away and the earth just goes around and around and around. But God decided that every time you breathe, He wants to be involved. That He upholds the universe, He creates the universe, and He says, breathe. Life. Exist. That He's involved in His creation, and that is powerful that He does that through His word. And then the society, I don't know if you've heard about this, says, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. It's almost like society and we are trying to convince ourselves what this person is saying doesn't hurt me. I want to say lie. As a Leon. We know that we have prayer meetings and prayer nights. And some of us are coming for prayer on a Sunday. Some of us are going for counseling. Not because you fell and broke your arm, but because of words that were spoken over us. Words are powerful and has the ability to build up and to break down. And we live in that reality. Words are powerful. So this morning I want to speak about words and words coming out of our mouth, because I do believe that words does create worlds. But sometimes our world is in grabou. It's not the world out there, and one day the president needs to speak a better word. But God has chosen us to place us in 2024 in a family, in a work situation, with people around us. He placed you in a spiritual family, and every single one of you have a place of influence. Do you know that? I think sometimes we always think of a Willem. He's the elder, and the elder has an influence in the church. I want to say, you have more influence than him.
Amen.
Amen. It's true. Somebody holding the mic, the longer you preach, you get to this point like, this doesn't mean much. I can preach the best message this morning and everybody can leave like, yeah, that was great. Yeah, it's lekker. Full bikkie opgebou. But the influence that we carry with our words on that side of the line, you have influence to influence the people that's around you, and God has given you that. So I want to look at, well, this is something just I felt, that it's not only important what we speak, the words, but I want to ask, what is the words that you allow in you? That when people sow words over you, what is the words that you believe? And as I was standing there, I just felt, this week I was meditating, I went to Somerset Mall to get out of the house a little bit and do a alone trip, and myself and Liffy is trying to, Liffy as Mia, and then I go and just like, thank you Jesus, and then we take turns again. We had that stage of life, but this week was really a big turn for us in our sleepless nights. She's sleeping well, as you can see. And I was sitting at a coffee shop and just opening my Bible, and I'm like, just anywhere. It's like that one thing Willem tells you, don't just open your Bible like, kom eens begin hier nie, begin by die begin van die boek. But I was opening my Bible, and I opened it up at John 14 verse 1 that says, let your heart not be troubled. Believe in God, and believe also in me. And I felt as I was standing there, there's people sitting here today with a troubled heart. And it's because of words that you allowed to be sown in your heart. And what we do is we take human words, people's words, and we make it very significant in our life. We elevate the man's opinion and man's words above the word of God. And we say, I don't care that God accepts me, this person rejected me, so I'm taking the rejection. I don't care that I have a spiritual family, I elevate somebody else's word. And I want to say, I think there's something of an uprooting that the Here wil kom omkruit uithaal and say, that word that was spoken over you, there's a better word. Believe in me and elevate my word rather than the words of people. So I'm going to stand still at this scripture, and then we're going to go into the death part, that our words has death, but also life. And I want to take a short moment on that to get to that words carry life. Proverbs 18 verse 21. Let's read and unpack this portion of scripture together. Death and life, both of them, are in the power of the tongue. Can you guys see? And those who love it will eat its fruit. I read that scripture, I'm like, it's mooi. It's beautiful. But as I started to unpack it a little bit, and those who love it will eat its fruit, I asked the question, what does the it refer to? Those who love it. Because it points to something that came before that, but it points towards, is it now the it of death or the it of life? And I want to say both. That if you love a tongue of death, you will eat the fruit of death in your life. But if you love it, if you love a tongue of life, you will have the fruit of life in your life. For example, if you sow seeds with your tongue of death, you will have a broken relationship, an angry wife, and Dirk Bekkenish. But likewise, the other one, if we have life and we speak a better word of upbuilding, life, encouragement, you will have a family of smiles, of joy. You will walk in here, and we don't even need to play music to create a vibe, because the people of God is speaking life in this place. There will be this, almost like a holy gossip, this like in the room, because the people of God is speaking life over one another as we get together on Sundays. So let's consider just shortly death. James 3, and you can go read the whole thing, speaks actually quite in detail about the tongue and how it is not to be used for cursing and for blessing, and that it shouldn't be, in a sense, salty water or corrupted water and fresh water, but it should be life actually coming out from us. But it starts off with James saying in James 3 verse 1 and 2, it says, "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters. For you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." We are also sinners, guys. "For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body." It's so interesting that it says if you can control your tongue, you control your whole body. It connects those two. The outflows, actually your whole life will change if we get to control this little thing called the tongue, because it's wild. I don't know if any one of you have tried to control your tongue. It is difficult. But maybe you look at this portion of scripture and you ask, Henry, I am not a teacher. I'm not a preacher. I'm not the person that teaches every week. I'm not an elder. I don't have an opportunity. I think we should look in a closer way in the scripture and try to apply it to our own life to say, I think every single one of us in this room is a teacher. I'm convinced about that. Firstly, I want to say for the younger generation, social media has created, and I come out of a context that we have a lot of students in our congregation, and we are growing up in the social media age. Social media, WhatsApp statuses, Facebook, Instagram, and all the 55 different apps that we get these days, designed every single person to become a teacher. You can just post your comment. You can just post your opinion. You can just post, you're going to take 1 or 2 minutes to get a video of somebody that tries to teach you something on social media. Social media has created a lot of teachers. It's not necessarily wrong. I'm just saying make sure it's life and not death. But to go a little bit further, every single one of you, when you meet somebody, is actually teaching something. With the waiter that gets your order wrong for the fourth time, you start to communicate certain words with that person. You can communicate something of graciousness, it's okay. Or you start to teach them the way of not being gracious or impatient. The traffic cop pulling you off and you're already 10 minutes late for your next appointment. And you're like, oh my, yeah. And then we're pulling off there and now you're getting a little bit like worked up because of the situation. Or walking for the 55th time past that homeless person that asked you once again for money. What are we communicating with our words? What are we speaking? And we're actually teaching something to that person. And I usually, and this is a good way to look at it, can you preach Jesus after you encounter with anyone? Will they feel still loved, built up, or is there a little bit of a smell of death in the air? It's like, no, we're not going to go to Jesus now because I'm quite of you and I'm not there now. So all of us are actually teaching. Many of us are teachers towards our children, grandchildren, to our spouses. Maybe a little bit of confession. I am probably a little bit like Willem. I think Willem is like this, as I summed you up. But to a large extent, we are quite black and white people in some areas of our life. And for me, I love to be on time. And many times when pressure comes, I don't do well under pressure because I start to get hyper fixated on a situation and it's at work, but then I come to the home and I'm focused in on the situation. And this thing, and I'm working it out of my head. And then my wife, best mood ever. Hoe was your dag, liefie? Everything fine? And wants to tell me about her day and what happened at work. And then she wants to show me 5 videos of what Mia did. And she made this new sound, or she farted in a video, and then we watched the fart. Oh, it's so cute and it's amazing. And all of these things. But I'm at a situation in my mind, in my head, and in my heart that I am hyperfixated on something. So I'm a little bit sharp. Like, what do you know you were praying? Well, dank oor dit. I want to get to this thing. I'm a little bit irritated and I'm sowing seeds with my words. I'm not even saying much, but I'm saying a lot. And I watch the atmosphere in the house change within 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and all of a sudden Liffy is dug back, Ag is dug back, and all of a sudden it's actually me teaching her to behave a certain way because I'm the head of my home. And I'm sowing seeds in my words and in my speech. It's not always what you say, it's how you say it. That changed the atmosphere. And I think when I consider the Bible, and specifically the New Testament, when it comes to the New Testament letters, when Paul and the apostles write into churches, what are some of the primary things that they're speaking about when it comes to the church? Slander, gossip, and division. How's it going in that area? We don't like to consider ourselves to be a divisive person. Or even a gossip person. Iemand wat skinder. Niemand wil met daai persoon uithang nie. But sometimes we do it so subtly that we fool ourselves. Maybe we don't gossip in the building of the church, like the way the service is held. But then in the week, we take somebody for a coffee or somebody comes over to your house and you're like, so wat het jy vir die diens gedink Sondag? That's where it starts. It's not wrong. That's where it starts. But there's a motive behind the whole thing. And then we go and wait till the other person is done with what they said, because then you have an opportunity. It's not what they said. You just want to get your word out. I can't believe they're getting this young guy in to preach. Hierdie jong mannetjie. Ja. Het hy knoppies hem gedra net om ouer te lyk vanoggend. And all of a sudden, you start to give a little bit of that. I think they should get that other guy in again. Well, I like the way Willem preaches. And what you're doing is you're turning somebody's heart to saying, ja, ek dink hulle moet dit doen. Die kerkmense, hulle moet dit verander. But who are we actually saying? Nee, Willem needs to do something about it. And actually that's going against the vision, and you create another vision, and it's thy vision, meaning the vision that you're creating by just sowing a seed of, what did you do with it? I'm not saying it's wrong, but it's so subtly all of a sudden that we bend people's hearts. Say, did you hear what that guy said? I disagree with him. And I wrote it down here, be raving fans publicly and honest critics privately. Noah's sons, Noah messed up after the ark. He was this righteous man chosen by God, and then he got drunk. Well done, Noah. Now we just have hierdie bou. But then his one son came, and he didn't cover his nakedness. He was lying naked, drunk. But then he called his other brothers, and his other brothers came, and they took let's call it a duvet, and they walked backwards, not even looking, and they covered it. And then they stood back. And I think there's something in that for us. We don't overlook sin. But I think sometimes there's something of speaking a better word. Love covers a multitude of sins. Sometimes just in our speech we don't cover. Or maybe just to end with this, I just want to get this off my heart. Wil ek net van my hart af kry. Sometimes you never need to get it off your heart. You need to get it out of your heart, but not off your heart. Because sometimes the heart is deceitful above all things and wants you to get everything off and out. But we corrupt with our talk. We corrupt somebody else's heart. We corrupt somebody else's lenses. That's why the Bible gives us clear instructions. I think it's in Matthew 18. That if you have beef with somebody, go sort it out alone. Alone. Because sometimes we want to get our buddy and say, I just want to get a little bit of perspective here. It's not always wrong, but then we turn certain people and we have our little fortified city and we're fighting against this person and this person fighting against us. The way of the kingdom is alone in this instance. So don't listen, you can get other people worse. But let us not be those that just want to get it off our hearts. Amen. Luke 6 verse 45. And I want to let the scriptures speak when it comes to life. I love the scripture that says, the good person out of the good treasures of the heart produces good. And the evil person out of the evil treasures produces evil. But then it connects the heart with the mouth. And it says, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Waar die hart van vol is, will come out. I believe in that scripture as I believe in Jesus Christ. I can just speak long enough with somebody and I'll find out what's really in their heart. I just need to get them keeping on talking and talking and talking. And all of a sudden, they start to speak and start to speak. And then I see what's going on in the heart. So what I don't want from this morning is, let's just change our speech. Let's just behavior modification. We just tweak the way we live. I want heart transformation. To say, God, come take out the heart of stone. Come out, take out the evil heart that stores up evil treasures, and rather say, God, I want to ponder on the good things of your kingdom. I want to ponder on Jesus. I want to store up treasures in my heart. I think it's my favorite verse, Psalm 119 verse 11. Lord, I store your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Isn't that so beautiful and applicable in this case when it comes to our words? I rather want to store kingdom treasures in my heart so that one comes out is kindness, is love, is the way of the Spirit. What's the way of the Spirit? It's the fruit of the Spirit. That we are patient people, we are kind people, we are loving people because we store God's heart, word in our hearts. So, three areas that I would like scripture, because I want to hide behind scripture, otherwise it's like Henry told us to change our mouths here. But it's actually, I want to let scripture challenge us this morning in three different areas. Number one, in our family life, at home. Colossians 3 verse 19. It's always the husband that gets the most baksla in church. Let's read. Colossians 3 verse 19. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. How easily it is to be harsh or to be sharp. Or to be caught off in a situation. It's so easy. Why? Because we are very driven and we want to sort something out. We don't want to speak through the whole problem. I just want to give you the solution. And then we are harsh sometimes. Liffy, luister net. And then you give advice. Sometimes she don't want advice. She just wants your ear. Just to listen sometimes. And we need to have a softer word when it comes to our wives. Because what you sow, you will reap. If you want a wife that is harsh back to you and sharp with you, sowing and reaping. Ephesians 5 verse 25 to 26 elaborate on this concept and says, husbands, love your wives as Christ has loved the church, as he gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, the process of making holy, having cleansed her, by the washing of water with the word. And it's so interesting that God connects this, that husbands should love their wives as the example that Christ has given us by dying for our sins first. That we actually were supposed to die on the cross. We deserved that. But while we were still enemies, Christ took the first step on our behalf. So husbands, how do you love the way of Christ? You forgive first. Aina and amen. You forgive first. Henry, that's unfair. My wife is this and this and this and this. But we're actually just acting like Adam. Lord, the woman you've given me. Hierdie vrou. Hallelujah. But actually, the way of the kingdom is husbands taking the leadership. I truly believe this, and in my preparation I thought about this. When a husband gets to the place of praying before the Lord and saying, God, it's unfair, then you've reached the heart of God. You need to reach that place of it's unfair. But that's the way of the kingdom. It is unfair. What would have been fair is that we died on that cross. But he did. Parents towards their children. 1 Thessalonians 2, 11 and 12. Paul is writing to a church here as a father to his children, and he uses this illustration, but I do believe it's almost like parents to their children. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father or mother deals with his own children. How do they deal? Encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into the kingdom and glory. What is the words that we have over our lips when it comes to our children? Is it words of encouragement, of upliftment, of comfort? Not only comfort when you get it right, but sometimes comfort in your mistakes. I love the story of, I heard, I think it was at 4:12 where Ewan McGray told a story of him losing his bicycle. And for weeks, he tried to run away from his dad. His dad would come home late and then he would pretend he's sleeping and his dad just left him and he left him. And for almost 2 weeks, he didn't have an encounter with his father. And then 2 weeks later, his dad was waiting for him because he lost his bike. And as he came down the stairs, he kom pak slaap. And there was a new bicycle at the bottom. And I think that's sometimes such a good picture for me of graciousness, of overlooking. Can, through our words, our children see that we serve Jesus? I read an article just before, or a year almost before, that we had Mia. And the article's name was Dads Who Sing. And something in the article just struck me that I want my children, for now it's like readjusting. I've one now, so I don't know if I'm going to open the door for two or three. For now I'm focused on the one. But I would love Mia to be raised in a household where they see their dad praising Jesus. Where they hear their dad sing unto the Lord, pray to God, speak a better word of encouragement. In church, I don't want to be you unto you before the Lord. I want to be somebody that stands in front of the church and my children can watch me serve Jesus. I don't want to hide at the back. And I'm not saying we all hide. There's not room for everyone. But in my heart, I want to be somebody in front for my kids, in front for the kingdom of God, so that they can see and know that I serve the Lord. Let's give one to the wives as well. Proverbs 27, and then we're ending with this and moving on. A quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. It just continues. It never stops. The Bible says. Not me, the Bible says. Let's not be quarrelsome wives. That continually. Het jy al die drom uitgevat? Het jy die skool uitgevat? Het jy al die bed opgemaak? Het jy al die sokkies? Just like another thing, and another thing, and another thing. Nou is die man gerok mal. But sometimes he needs to hear that. He needs a cappuccino. Let's a biggie pak slaap. Yes. But sometimes we seek a fight just because you're not in a good mood. But is our words of grace. Jy lekker buite toe gaan 'n bietjie gesels as jy wil. Okay, last two. That is family. But when it comes to our words, and Willem didn't ask me to share this. This is just what I felt from the Lord. How's your words towards leadership? Ephesians 4 verse 29 says the following. Let no, zero, corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Give grace to those who hear. Sometimes when it comes to leadership or somebody leading a church or your community group, it's so easy to point out the mistakes that that the church, and what we mean with the church, we're meaning Willem. When we use that, the church needs to change this. No, Willem needs to change this. So we're actually just speaking to him. We're just speaking to the comm leader that's in charge. I don't know whose comm leader is. But sometimes it doesn't leave a taste of life and upbuilding, but it does leave a taste of death and breaking down and just showing this is what's wrong. But the scripture says that after our conversation, and it says that fits the occasion, because sometimes your words does not fit the occasion. Don't come just after my preaching like, yeah, you could have better gedoen at work. Maybe just take me on a coffee on Monday, then I'm a bit settled. I'm already like speaking in front of people. Let's do it later on. Don't just immediately fit the occasion, but then does it leave the person with a taste of grace? It's like, yeah, you come and show the mistake. I'm not saying you can't speak about mistakes, obviously, but it's not always what we show, but it's how we show it. It's not always just bringing the problem, but have you prayed and considered the scriptures and bringing a solution as well? Or to say, we are not worshipping on a Sunday. Are you worshipping? Passionately, wholeheartedly. Visitors don't want to stay here. Then invite them into your house. Pull them closer. Be a part of the solution in God. And not just hoping somebody out there will do something. As Josh Jane, we believe, not only as Josh Jane, as the Bible, kingdom people believe we are a priesthood of all believers. Meaning it's not a one-man show today. It is every single one of us bringing our bit, bringing our part, bringing what God has placed within us, speaking a better word, building up, encouraging, bringing what the life God imparted in you throughout the week. And then as each one of you, your cups is full of God, full of the Holy Spirit, full of the Word, and your hearts are full. Now you come to church service and you pour yourself out to people. This is not the place just to be built up. It's the place to give as well. So towards leaders, let's be gracious in our speech. Let's let them feel us in our kidneys behind them. That's one thing that I decided since the very beginning, that I want to make my leader's life a joy. Yes, I am a leader, but I'm also under authority. I'm also in a team. We serve as a plurality. There's not one elder, it's elders always in the Bible. So I have a guy, Leonard, that leads the 4 and 6 p.m. I take more charge of 6, he takes more charge of 4, but he oversees Stanley's p.m. I want to make his life a joy. Not overlooking, coming, sharing my thoughts, but bringing a better word and saying, this is what I believe Scripture is saying, and I will be the solution for that. Lastly, God's people. Hebrews 10 verse 15, and I'm ending with these last portions of... It's 25. I got it wrong. Yeah, you got it right. 25. Not neglecting to meet together, as it is the habit of some. Just to say, let's not make it a habit to miss church service on a Sunday or on a Wednesday. Why? Because you're missing the blessing of a word. Of a word of encouragement from somebody, from the preach, from the message. There's something when we get together that God wants to speak a word over us. So don't neglect it. Don't just like, yeah, I was at the gathering, so I'm going to miss today. There's something special about the Lord's Day when we come together. But not only to receive, because we're not sponges. We're just not getting the whole time. But you miss then the opportunity to bless, to build up, to encourage if you don't come in the morning. And we miss an aspect of Jesus, actually. Because there's something of God in every single one of us. I am one portion. I'm probably the toenail. If you see me, you see the toenail of the body. But others of us are actually an arm and a leg and a mouth and a nose and important parts. Those parts need to come to the forefront. Otherwise, the body is not complete. And if we're not here, it's not complete. But encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. Is the encouragement on our lips. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. Romans 14:19, last scripture. So then we pursue the things which makes for peace and for building up of one another. I think the gift of encouragement is one of the most neglected gifts in the body of Christ. But it's the most important for me. Everybody loves to hang around with somebody that just makes you feel nice. That comes around you and say, today is not that bad. I know your heart is troubled. I know you're not feeling great. But today His mercies are new. Willem is quite like that person for me. I love preaching here or coming here. It's like, you're doing so good work. You guys are doing so amazing. And I'm like, oh, that's so amazing. It's like a donkey. It's just nice hanging around those type of people that build you up and encourage you and speak a better word, not looking down on you and like, yo, I hope that person never goes in leadership. If somebody wants to and can and has the potential on their life to walk in a calling, their victory is our victory. Their success is our success. Them shining for Jesus, we shine for Jesus. There's something that we need to catch in that, and not just to hide somebody, but to uplift continually. If Grabau does well, we all do well, because we hear of your faith. We hear of your love. We hear about the encouragement that goes on. We hear if you walk through this door, nobody will be left out. Everybody will be built up. Is that that could be said about Grabau? That we, this is a people that watch their words, that they are a spring of living water as the Holy Spirit works in their hearts. Life flows from you. I do believe it's a season of building again for Grabau, to build something again, and God wants to come and establish you. But it will start in our hearts, it will flow in our words. Let's stand and pray together. Maybe let's just take a minute and this can be only a nice message. If God doesn't come, the Holy Spirit was given to us to convict us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. But specifically that sin part. Say, God, is there something in my speech? Maybe it is division, gossip, slander. Maybe it is just not kindness. Maybe it is that for a season you have withheld your voice rather to build up and encourage. To say, God, I repent. And at the gathering last night, we spoke about repentance. Repentance does not only mean to say sorry, but it's to change your ways. It's to come back to the Lord. It's to leave the old ways and to come back to the ways of Christ. It's wisdom applied in God's way. So Father, I pray in this moment, would you come by your Spirit and highlight an area in our life, Lord? Say, in this area, Father, I would love you to come and work by your Spirit. Maybe I've not been that kind to my wife or my spouse. Maybe I've had a heart that was critical, and I always want to point out the mistakes. And although there is mistakes, God, I want to be a part of the solution. I want to be, in a sense, the wind in everybody's sails. To uplift, to encourage, to exhort, to pull people into the mall. So Father, would you just come and highlight those areas? And maybe just in your own words you can say, God, I'm sorry. Just speak to the Lord maybe in a moment and say, God, in this area, I'm sorry. But His mercies are new every morning. And His kindness leads us to repentance, and it leads us to the way of life. And I know Willem already made the call, but I wanna ask, maybe you are visiting and this has been a little bit of a different word for you. But as I said in the beginning, that the words of the gospel, of the good news of Jesus Christ, is this: that in yourself you can never reach God. You can go to church every single week, being a church member even, you can lift your hands, you can do all the outward things, but it's only through Jesus Christ that died in your place and accepting that gift. What is the gift? The gift is Jesus. The gift is the treasure in the field. And I do think there's some people standing here that your whole life, maybe I'm going to switch to Afrikaans, I think it's Afrikaans people, dat vir jou hele lewe jy groot geraak het in kerk en geloof en gehoor van boodskappe, gehoor van die Here, gehoor van al hierdie goed. Maar daar was nog nooit iets meer as om net kerk te kyk nie. Elke week kom kyk ek kerk. Ek kom kyk wat die kerk doen, ek kom kyk wat die dominee sê, ek kom kyk wat die pastoor sê, ek kom kyk wat iemand sê. Maar ons nog nie meer 'n realiteit van God in my en ek in God en 'n lewendige verhouding. En hoe weet jy dit? Hoe weet jy jy daai? Ek wil sê jy sal weet. Want God gaan jou kom wakker maak in jou hart en sê, dis ek. Dis ek. Ek het groot geword in geloof, ek het groot geword in Christendom, ek het groot geword in 'n tradisionele kerk, ek het deur belydenis van geloof gegaan en al die goeders gedoen. Maar ek het Jesus gemis. En toe kom my dag. Daai dag wat ek net besef vir my het dit op 'n jonger ouderdom gekom. Vir my pa het gekom oor die ouderdom van 50. En ek het al mense na die Here toe gelei oor die ouderdom van 70. Maar die Bybel sê vandag is die dag van redding. Nie gister nie, nie môre nie, maar vir elke een is daar geleentheid in vandag om na die Here toe te draai. So ek wil vra dat almal ons oë toemaak en as dit dalk julle is of een van julle is, wil ek graag net indikasie weet, want ek wil vir julle bid. Ek gaan nie julle op die spot sit of iets soos dit, ek sal na die tyd vir julle bid. Maar net as daar enigiemand soos dit is wat ek voor kan bid, wat nog nie die Here volledig, jy het in tradisie groot geword, jy het in geloof groot geraak, jy het nog nie God nie. Is daar iemand soos dit? Enigiemand. Welkom na die tyd te kom gesels. Ek dink daar's 2. En dan sal 3 wat 'n groot besluit moet neem. Ek dink daar's spesifiek 2. So Vader, ek vertrou. Vader, I trust that Grabouw will be fresh water. Lord, that will love it. That will love the town of life. And they will reap the fruit of the tongues of life, Lord. Father, I trust for every single one to step into the voice that you've given them, in the area of influence that you've given them, that they will speak a better word. Not fall into condemnation and skuldgevoel if they don't, but come continually to you to come and refresh our words, come and refresh our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is a word that I want to really just encourage us. Don't leave it here this morning. The Holy Spirit has a way to really make these things part of our hearts, part of who we are. He has a way of weaving something into our fabric, but we need to just be intentional. You know, when you've got your quiet time in the week, say, Lord, I want to just go back to Sunday morning. This thing about word just keeps on. There's something about this thing. And what David often did is he said, Lord, search my heart. In the week, allow the Lord to show you what are these words that I'm saying that often brings death over myself and my surroundings and the things that it is. Because this is such an important. Thanks, Andre. Thank you so much. We're going to end the service here. And we're going to have some coffee and tea. And we're going to have a time after the coffee and tea. What is the time now? It's 10 to 11. So we're probably just after 11. For all the guys that I've invited, the visitors that we've invited, we're going to have an information session just about Josh Jen, the communities and all of the things that goes on. It's a bit of an orientation time. So I want to invite every visitor to please stick around. It's not that long, it's about 15 minutes. We come back to the hall and we're going to just have a time where we'll just share a little bit about our background. And I also want to say, if there's any members as well, guys that's here and you say, listen, I've never heard how you guys started off. and you're interested to know, please stick around. It's going to be interesting. So yeah, and then we can take it from there. Is that good? All right, so we're just after 11 for those guys. It's about 15 minutes, just enough time to go and make a cup of coffee, have a quick chat, and then we come back to the hall in this. So don't back up the chairs. Don't switch off the AV, Carla. And then we're going to be back. Let's just pray. Father God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you that you are alive and working in us through your Holy Spirit. We pray, Lord Jesus, that as we experienced you and encountered you this morning, that you will go with us now. Because you are in our hearts. You're not in a building. You're in our hearts. You live in us. And so we pray that as we go into this week, back into our work life, back into our family life, where we might find ourselves, that you will journey and walk with us into this week. And we pray that in Jesus' name.